Jocelyn. Let's bring it back to the 80s. How's everybody doing? Come on, smiles, everyone. I feel like Fantasy Island. Smiles, everyone. They're coming. They're coming. Is he here yet? Oh, gosh. We still have some people coming in. Got to let them in from the waiting room. Do we have Mr. Canfield in the room? Yes, we do.
Hey, Patty. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm really fine. And I wake up happy every morning the last couple of weeks. It's good.
Wow. Well, we like when you're happy. When you're happy, we're happy. This is good news.
Glad to hear that. Glad to hear that.
We are right on time. It's good to have you. So how's everybody doing? Put in the chat how you're feeling, what's up for you on a scale of 1 to 10. How's everything going? Look at the chat along with you. All right. Good vibe, fired up. We had a call yesterday, Jack, so this is like perfect timing. I'm so excited that we're talking about persistence and perseverance because there was a lot of like, I know I want to do this. I know I shouldn't get stuck in the how, but I'm kind of getting stuck in the how, you know? And so just really dealing with, you know, what actions do we have to take and keep taking, and how nothing ever happens overnight, as you know, more than anyone. And so I'm just glad you're here today because I could tell that a lot of people are getting to that place where like, okay, I feel like I'm close, but I got to get a little bit further. So there's nothing like a good conversation with Jack Canfield to get you to go that extra mile. I know it's always worked for me. I'm like, how can we finish this? We will. How do you know? I've done it before. Hang in there. Are you sure? So I'm excited.
Let me just respond to two things that people wrote in the chat real quick. Someone wrote that they felt overwhelmed. Overwhelm is the result of having too many things to do and no criteria for which to decide which to do first. Another description of overwhelm is too many demands and not enough capacity. So often we overschedule ourselves. We create demands by making agreements that are too many. Or we take on responsibilities that aren't really ours. Sometimes we feel responsible for, you know, our grown children, the neighbors, the people at the church, whatever it might be. And so you have to really look at, you know, how much responsibility do I want to take on? What are the things I need to be focusing on and doing? And looking at, you know, what are my values? What's the highest priority for me? When you can't do everything, you can only do some things. Ask yourself, what's the highest value activity I can do right now? And, I was interviewing John Assaraf recently for another project I'm involved with. And he was talking about the importance of literally, you know, every hour asking yourself, this last hour, was I just active or was I doing high results activities? And sometimes we get stuck thinking we have to do more than we have to do. So overwhelm, you know, get clear about what are your priorities and also see if you can renegotiate. You can always go back to people and say, you know, I've overcommitted myself and I'd like to, renegotiate the commitment I have, you know, either create the deadline further out or, you know, renegotiate what you're going to do, et cetera. And the other thing I saw that Leah lost her mom last week and also feeling, you know, a 7 instead of a 10. And just allow yourself to feel your feelings and, that those things show up in life and give yourself permission to feel that. And you'll go through anger and sadness and all the different phases of that. Just know that it's a natural process. We can never predict the things that show up. We often call them emergencies because they emerge unannounced, you know. And sometimes there's a lot to deal with when that shows up. And sometimes you have to put your professional goals on hold, you know, while you attend to a sick child or you attend to, you know, a parent or you attend to, you know, the fact that there's a leak in the toilet, you know, that's flooding the bathroom. So just all give yourself permission. And we're all committed to getting to where we want to go. But just remember the deadlines we put on it are just a arbitrary thing we decided, you know, 4 months ago. And so if you achieve it 2 weeks from now, a month from now, 3 months from now, and you still achieve it, you got yourself into momentum and it's an okay thing to be there.
I think that's so important. And sometimes I think it's almost like that's part of what's so great about having a group like this, where people can actually be really real and transparent and say, like, I am in that space. And people, like for you and I, we had each other, we had Mark. And so when somebody was down, somebody else was up. And so when one of us was scattered, you were there going, wait, come back down to earth. You know, so it's kind of nice to try to figure out how to, we talked about environments, we talked about all these different things. And part of that too are people in your environment and how to make sure you have that support system. I just think it's so important, such a huge piece, having that community to really, you know, be able to depend on, because we're human.
Right, right. I was seeing someone else, I think Mark said he was stuck in his head and that he likes it in there, but it was not the best thing for getting things done. You know, if you give yourself that rule of five idea that every day you commit to five action steps, they don't have to be huge, but at least you accomplish something, you know. And sometimes, you know, thinking is an accomplishment. You know, John Maxwell, who's arguably one of the more successful people on the planet, a multimillionaire, a successful pastor. He writes a book every year, sometimes two or three. But he basically commits to doing so many things a day. And like, you know, writing for 1 hour, meditating, etc. And so again, you know, if you put yourself, and he's a great thinker, and he says you should set aside time for thinking, you know, like maybe an hour to this think, to be creative. So give yourself permission for that too. Build it into the schedule. But I would say don't get lost in a rabbit hole in any one of those activities. You know, sometimes I get into writing and the next thing I know it's 5 hours later. And I really only intended to write for 2 hours. I got a lot done, but then other things that were equally important didn't get done. So I really believe someone says calendaring. What is calendaring? What that means is that you want to work from a calendar schedule rather than from a to-do list. Because I can look at my to-do list. I have one here. It looks like this for the day. Lots of little things that got to get done. But the point is, I also have on one side of it, you can see it's a schedule. It has times that are to do certain things. And so basically, I know those things are going to get done because they're in time blocks. And the reality is that you want to calendar the most important things, you know, time to prepare for something. So when it shows up, you're ready, you know. And if you're going to write for an hour a day, I write for 2 hours a day right now because I'm finishing two books. So work from schedule blocks of time and then keep those commitments to those blocks of time. And then at the end of the day, ask yourself, was I productive? Was that the best use of my time? Is there a better use? What did I get done? What did I not get done? What do I want to make sure I do tomorrow? Put it on your calendar. And I realize in this course, one of the things I'm taking away from it, we're going to talk about that today, is that I have started calendaring things. Patty and I were working on, you know, well, why is that book not getting written? That was one of the things you committed to. And I realized it because I wasn't putting it in my calendar. It was getting leftover time. And it's one of my most important things. So Greg saying, I limit myself to my top three goals per day and apply the rule of five to those top three. That's great. You know, very good. Because you can overwhelm yourself. If you have seven areas of your life and you've got three goals in every area, you know, every day, you may not be able to work on every single thing.
So I want to ask you a question on that, Jack, just curious, and you always have something profound to say, but living the success principles, getting that done, you know, you've been working on a long time and things get in the way of that. And so I've been kind of holding you accountable. You're holding me accountable as we're going through this group. What do you say to yourself, or what do you tell other people to say to themselves? Because I feel like if it was somebody else's thing, then you would get it done because you would feel like you need to. This is a story. But we tend to put other people first. And so if you made yourself first and didn't ever feel selfish and said, I'm just going to do this book, I don't care what anybody needs. Like, how do you balance that? And what do you say to other people that struggle with always leaving their projects for the last thing?
Well, again, schedule your own projects early in the morning so you get them done. Like, if 2 or 3 hours of writing. Again, problem for me is I was putting it at the end of the day every day. And often by the end of the day, I had things piled up that really needed to get handled, like answering emails like that needed to be answered so someone could take action the next day. And so now I'm doing that in the morning. And the other thing I think, too, is that learning to say no is really critical. And I have a huge desire to serve. And I have a huge, and I always remember, well, someone helped me when I was there, you know, will you write a testimony for my book? I've literally said no to about 50 people in the last month. You know, I'm not writing a testimony for your book. It means that I have to read it. I don't have time. Even if you write it, I can't agree to it because I can't back it up that it really is as good until I've read it. And so it's hard because I want people to be successful because I know how much it helped me in the beginning. But there's times when you have to say no. When I wrote the Success Principles, you may remember, we blocked off 3 months where I didn't even look at my emails. My assistant went through all my emails, only showed me the ones that were super important. I didn't answer the phone. So I was protected. And so we have to create that protection around ourselves. Melanie's writing, I get up at 4 a.m. and spend 4 a.m. to 6:30 is my time. Then I walk from 6:30 to 7:30. Early morning, you know, all the research we've done on billionaires, almost every one of them gets up 5 o'clock or earlier. And basically by 8 o'clock, they've got all their disciplines done. They've written for an hour, they've read for an hour, they've exercised, whatever, meditated. And then they get into their day running their company. So I think, you know, that it's powerful if you can schedule your time to do that. I've been getting up earlier every morning. And it's been really helpful for me.
I said no to you yesterday. You said, can we meet at 9? I said, nope. That's my time. You're like, oh, okay.
All right.
That was a new thing too. Don't, I try not to plan anything before 10 because I really need that morning for me. It's the only time I was saying on Monday, I'm making like Monday me day, you know, and really focus on all the things I need for me and then plan them out for the week and then do them every morning between 6 and 10. So I think you're right about that. I mean, the more that we do early and the scary things too, like the things that we did to grow our business, we always did the scary stuff early in the day when you have the excitement, you still believe in you. I said, when you still believe in yourself, you know, by the end of the day, I'm like, oh, I'm not so great. You know, and I think a lot of us struggle with that. So it's just good to hear that you're with us in that area.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we can go ahead and get started. I think there was one other question. I was going to answer it really quick from Anayo. What's the appropriate timeline or duration to host the 6-session success principles for a group or a business or an organization? I would say there's 12 principles in that instructor's guide, and you can make those 12 sessions. They could be 6 sessions. They can be weekly, biweekly, monthly. What we found, I think what I love about this course is that we used to think that we had to get you in a room and give you all this information in a day. And it's been so profound to let you do a little bit at a time, as you've probably all experienced, and have to go away and do some things and execute some things and then kind of digest it and come back and ask questions. And, you know, I think less is more, especially in today's world. I don't know if you want to add anything to that, and then we could jump into your teaching.
Well, I'll let that stand as it is. I just want to speak to Charlotte for a minute. She says, my problem is I have loads of time and spend most of it staring into space, not knowing what to do. I would basically ask yourself, what's the outcome you want? Like, ask yourself, what does my ideal, exceptionally cool life look like? If I could have anything I want, you know, is it spending more time with certain people? Is it finishing something I'm writing? Is it having more clients? Is it making a difference in the community? I don't know enough about your life and what your professional and personal reality is, but basically ask yourself, what do I want that I don't currently have? Or what do I want to experience I'm not currently experiencing? And then say, what are the activities that would get me there? Now, if you don't know, then you can reach out to people and you know who are already achieving those levels, whether it's health, whether it's inner peace, whether it's money, whether it's field coaching practice, whether it's, you know, finishing a book, whether it's starting a company, whatever it might be, there are people who have figured out how to do that. You know, one of the things that's true, there's nothing you want to do that somebody hasn't figured out how to do, maybe other than go to Mars and colonize it. We're still working on that one. But there's all kinds of books that have been written. There's all kinds of TED Talks that have been done. There's YouTube videos. There's master classes. You can type in master class and learn how to do pretty much anything. You know, maybe you want to be eating better and you can take a cooking class. You know, maybe you want to learn how to speak and be a speaker. There's courses on speaking. There's many of them are free. Many of them you pay for. You know, we have classes where we teach people how to be coaches and trainers and speakers. So all of that's available to you. And we always say, if you don't know what to do, find someone who's done it and ask them how they did it. And then once you know what the actions are, then what you want to do is schedule them into your program. So you're not you're staring out into space, not knowing what to do. Sometimes not knowing what to do is a way we protect ourselves from failing. You know, we act confused. We don't make a decision. We don't commit to anything. That way we can never fail. Not suggesting that has to be what's going on for you, but take a look and say, you know, if I could have anything I want in any area of my life or all areas of my life, what would I be experiencing? And then look at what would be required to get there. And then create those actions, put them into your calendar and do them.
Well, the group chat is going off. They're all relating. Good stuff. All right. So
there's too many. I just asked this. If there's too many things, you can't figure out which one to do. Literally flip coins, you know, to have a little, if you got six things to do, say, well, between number one and two, heads number one, tails number two. Great. Okay. Between number two and number three, heads, tails, and then just end up with something. Because if you can't decide, just decide. And there's often a fear of making the wrong decision. You can't make a wrong decision. You have a long life to live. And some people think you're coming back anyway, so you can never get it wrong. So just make the decision and get on with it. All right. So let's see. Let's talk with our good friend Jocelyn. You want to cover some logistical things real quick, and then we'll jump into the curriculum for the day.
Yep. Sounds good. Let me pull up the slides. All right. Housekeeping items this week. We're on the gratitude challenge. We're on day 14 today. So if you haven't been in the Facebook group, make sure you get in there. This is our last opportunity to do a challenge together. So definitely get in there and do it. The next thing is we have our last office hours was yesterday, and I did not notice that in my mind until right now. So yesterday was the last office hours session. And then next week on Wednesday, we have our last guest expert, and it's Jarek Robbins. Probably a lot of you know Tony Robbins. Jarek is his son, and he is also an amazing business coach. And he is going to be coming to talk to us specifically about business and finances. And I'm really excited for this. I know him really well, and he's blown my mind with value every time I've seen him speak. So he will be here next Wednesday. And then prizes. July, we already went over, but I just wanted to put it back up here for everyone to see. So these are the people who won for July. If you see your name, get excited, post it in the chat. August, we haven't gone over August. So Sarah Sword won the one-on-one with Jack. Nick Downs won the one-on-one with Patty. And then Lee, Tanya, and Lee also all won a signed copy of TSP or a journal. And lastly, September, Nichelle Bott is doing a one-on-one with Jack, Gail Dillon with Patty, and then Brenda, Ivana, and Michelle all got a signed copy of either TSP or the journal. And we'll be doing the last month. We'll announce those ones on our celebration call. And that's all I've got.
Okay, let's go over some cartoons real quick. So send me that emoji that best describes how you're feeling today. Working with the teenagers of the world in therapy. Next one. This is a procrastination therapy clinic. Mr. Swanson, our session ended 50 minutes ago. Will you please leave? He says, I know, just give me a minute. Husky, Collie, Beagle, Afghan, Poodle, Pug, Yorkie, Shih Tzu, Corgi. He says, your hindsight is 20/20.
That's funny.
This is the origin of the platypus. You can click the slide. He says, I'm just saying, if we're stuck here for 40 days and nights, maybe we should get to know other couples. Trust me, Alex, your father doesn't like giving you spankings. It hurts him far more than it hurts you. All right. So today we want to cover persistence and perseverance, which is critical at this point because you're going to be needing to persevere and persist as we, you know, bring this program to an end the work you're doing to achieve your goals is not coming to an end, even though our meetings are coming to an end. We will have one more meeting in November. It's going to be a celebration meeting. We're going to talk to you about that and some preparation for that at the end of the call today. But basically, in terms of instruction, this is the last day where we're doing that. So we want to talk about the importance of persisting and not giving up and persevering in the face of obstacles. There's always going to be obstacles. If there were no obstacles in life, two things would be true. Number one, we'd all be skinny, we'd all be wealthy, and we'd all be exuberantly happy all the time. But the fact is, obstacles and resistance is part of life. And they're really a gift, because what happens when you have these obstacles in your life is you are having to confront them. And in the process of confronting them, and you have to develop certain qualities like courage, perseverance. You have to reach out to other people, build teams. You have to ask for what you want. You get more confident when you do that, and you learn how to experience rejection and not die, and know that you might have to ask 10 people before you get a yes. But if you get that yes, it absolutely changes your life. So the idea here is that obstacles and things in the way can be difficult and challenging, but it's not the end of the world. Next slide, please. So two books I want to recommend to you to read sometime in the next month would be The Obstacle is the Way, The Ancient Art of Turning Adversity to Advantage by Ryan Holiday. Another one by Mary O'Malley is called What's in the Way is the Way, A Practical Guide for Waking Up in Life, or Waking Up to Life. And the point being that the things you're confronting, think of them as gifts that are there for your growth and your promotion, and for you to develop and strengthen yourself. Otherwise, we'd all, it's interesting. I'll just share a little statistic that most people don't know. When you're born, if you go through the birth canal and you're not a cesarean birth, what happens is there's a lot of stress put on your brain and your body. And as you're going through that very narrow canal, and the mother's slowly letting her hips part and, all the stuff that is required for a natural birth, what happens is your body is secreting chemicals from that stress that actually strengthen you, that give you more stamina and perseverance and willpower than if you were a cesarean birth, which is why for most cesarean births, they don't just immediately cut you out or cut, the baby out if you've given one, is that they actually ask you to push for a while. So it creates some of that same stress in that child, because it's really important for the child's development, both neurologically and emotionally and psychologically. So all through life, all these stressors, as long as there's not too much stress, and then we go into depression, or we go into withdrawal, we go into ways of avoiding that stress by becoming addicted to substances or sex or television or workaholism or whatever it might be. But the point is that there's a certain amount of stress called eustress, EU stress, which means that it's positive stress. It's stress that helps you grow. You have to stress your muscles by lifting weights in order for those muscles to grow. If there's no resistance, the muscles atrophy. And so I don't know if you ever had this experience. I broke my left knee skiing one year, and I hobbled around on crutches for about 2 months and maybe three. And what happens is the left leg, which is the one I broke, after they took the cast off, my left thigh and my left calf were so much smaller than my right leg. It took me a year to get that leg back to the same level of muscular build, if you will, size and strength that it was before. So you require stress in order to maintain strength and grow and develop. So anyway, I would recommend reading one or both of those books as a way of just Velcroing that concept into your life, so that we don't get mad at stress, we don't resist stress, we don't get angry with stress or obstacles, but we see that they're valuable. They are the thing that actually moves us forward. Next slide, please. I love this quote from Tony Robbins. He says, life is always happening for you, not to you. And that's really important to realize that everything that happens, it's really for your growth. It's for your having to develop new things. Or maybe it's happening for you to delay something that you shouldn't be doing. It's not time yet, but always realize that what's happening, approach it with the idea of this is a gift. What can I learn from it? What should I be doing? What qualities do I need to develop to handle this? And instead of feeling like you're being victimized, because you're not being victimized, you're actually being gifted, if you will. All right, next slide, please. I found this a couple years ago, that this guy, 93-year-old World War II veteran Ernie Andress, completed a nearly 3-year run across America. So when he was 91, he started a run from Florida. Next slide, we'll show you the path. He started in Florida, in St. Simon's Island, and maybe it was Florida, South Carolina, one of those, Georgia, whatever is there. I think it was Florida. And he ran all the way across the country to San Diego. He had a van, a camper that followed him. He would sleep in that at night. And when the weather was really bad, he would suspend his run, maybe even for a month. But then he'd come back to where he started again, and he would start running again. He ran every day that the weather was okay. And within a 3-year period, he finished that run. So I want you to be inspired by the fact that however long something might take, if you keep committed to it, you will, in fact, achieve it. All right, we can go.
You picked the flat states, huh?
Yeah, there you go. So the flat states. Yeah, good point. Yeah, you don't want to run across the Colorado.
It might just be an easier road for each thing that we're trying to get to. I mean, you really thought that one through.
Yeah, my 30-year-old son just drove from Boston to San Francisco, where he's now living, and he said, "Dad, Nebraska, Kansas, it's forever. You know, it's so flat, and all you see is field." But yeah, it's basically, yeah, you don't want to run up and down mountains at 93, I don't think. Anyway, so one of the things that Patty and I want to talk about was this idea of perseverance and also the concept of surrender, that sometimes we need to surrender to that which is, not always be trying to resist reality. A lot of pain comes from resisting what is. Like if you try to resist a train coming down the track, you're going to lose. If you get off the track and don't resist the train, let it go by, you're going to win. So there are going to be things that show up in your life. And again, you know, just be in a space of this is okay. You might prefer something different, but this is what is, and I need to attend to it and address it. And then you do the best you can with that. Did you want to comment any more about that, Penny?
Well, I think that just goes back to, I mean, there's just some things we can't control. So we have to always revert back to that E plus R equals O. I mean, that really is the magical, equation for all of us. We were talking yesterday about this, and we were thinking about like, well, what are some of the things? And I was saying to Jack, when my mom died, I had done all the flowers for her, and they were all in my car. And I was speaking at the funeral. Nobody else could barely talk. And I was literally getting on the freeway, and this girl who's texting at 60 miles an hour comes ripping through the red light and broadsides my car. And I'm like, okay, well, I can have a nervous breakdown right now, or I can just get out of my car, call a friend, say, I'm right down the street, please come and get me so I'm not late for my mom's funeral. And then when this woman said, oh my God, you're going to your mom's funeral. And then she freaked out for me. And I literally just thought, I'm just gonna leave my car. I'll figure out wherever it is. And I have to just let go of what should have been and what she should have been doing and how she was wrong, and just keep it together, pray for grace, and move on. The next day, I wasn't so happy when I had to get my car out of impound with a bunch of drunk people in the middle of the desert where it was 116. And I had to wait in the line. And I kept asking to go ahead. And my sister said, here, you're nothing. It's like all my techniques didn't work. So that was frustrating. But those things are going to happen for us. And maybe something worse was going to happen. I don't know. I mean, at least I didn't get hurt, you know. So I think I love that title of that book. And I wrote it down to buy it. You know, what's in the way is the way. I mean, if that's just a mantra every day and you take that time, I think also what you said earlier, Jack, was meditation. It's so important. I mean, so much comes to us when we're silent. And if we're so busy being busy trying to think it through, we can't let that guidance, you know, come in. And so I think I'm glad that you mentioned that earlier.
I want to just mention one more thing about obstacles, if I could, and then we're going to do an exercise with you guys. Patty and I took a course a number of years ago with a man named Dan Sullivan. It was called the Strategic Coach Program. And one of the things he taught us was a technique called strategy circles. And the basic idea was you have a goal, you figure out all the action steps you can take to achieve that goal. And then you think about what are the three main obstacles that could show up that will stop you from achieving that goal. And then what you do is you think of three solutions to each of those obstacles. So one of the things that happens when obstacles do show up, they often like broadside us, like that car hitting the side of Patty's car. But in general, most of the things that show up are kind of predictable if you really think it through. If you think about, well, what could stop me? Maybe it's my husband's desire to spend more time with me. Maybe it's the fact that I don't have the computer that I need. Maybe it's the fact that I don't have the mailing list that I think I need to have in order to do it. Maybe it's the fact that my children want me to spend more time with them, whatever it might be. And then you say, well, what are three ways I can handle each of those obstacles? Now, if and when they do show up, you have strategies in place. I'll give you an example of out of our life that we actually did at that time. We were being coached by someone in Texas about how to sell more Chicken Soup for the Soul books. How can we sell 13 million Chicken Soup for the Soul books in 1 year? And this man suggested we start a book club. So instead of having to sell 12 books one at a time as they came out in the year, we'd just get people to subscribe to the book club and they'd automatically get a book. So now we didn't have so many sales decisions that people would have to make one and buy 12 books. And thought that's really cool. But we knew our publisher didn't like sending out books one at a time. And we knew that we didn't have the capacity to send out books one at a time to 13 million people. So those were obstacles. And then we said, well, how can we handle the fact that Peter Vegzo, our publisher, is not going to want to support us with this? And then we said, well, one thing is, who does like to send out books one at a time? Amazon.com. So could we create a relationship between our publisher, who like to ship big truckloads full of books, like to different distribution channels like Amazon and Barnes and Noble and so forth. And that was a solution to the problem. So when that showed up, we had a solution. We didn't go, oh, crap, our publisher doesn't support us and all that kind of stuff. So the idea is to have at least three different ways that you can handle whatever shows up so that if and when it does show up, you're not blindsided. It takes a little thinking to do that. You can even brainstorm with other people, ask for other people's advice and so forth. But literally, it smooths the deck, if you will. It, you know, it clears out the brush. I was watching a documentary on small animals in Africa. I mean, really small. Like there's a mouse that's about this big that has a snout like an elephant, and it lives in the grass, and it creates these little trails through the grass. And when the elephants come and tramp it all down, he spends a whole day cleaning up the trail, you know, pushing all these grass blades out so he can run really fast because he's got to attack these crickets that he eats really, really fast or they run away. So we have to like smooth the track, if you will. So when the obstacle's there, we're not blindsided by it.
Okay, I just have to say that for those of you that don't know, that was a Jacktoid factoid. Okay, who knows these things? That's what I mean. I want to add to that a little bit. Seriously, I don't know I watch his brain. It's like an 8-track tape and it goes and pulls out some things like, by the way, that reminds me. It's like, where, there he goes. But here's the other thing too, when it came to the fact that when we got published, first of all, we got published by the smallest publisher in the world, total blessing in disguise. Then we did, and we realized he wasn't going to do any marketing. But the cool thing was, as I look back now, we didn't spend a whole lot of time moaning and groaning about that. We went, all right, he's not going to do it. And I think what happens for a lot of us is we have 80% of our time on the obstacle and 20% of our time on the opportunity. And I don't think, I mean, yeah, we had our moaning and groaning sessions for sure. But I would say 85% of our time was on, this is just a fact. It is what it is. We're not going to change it. We're not going to try. And so we had to do those, you know, those look at the strategy circles and come up with those things. And we did. And what it did for us too is it created a whole new level of thinking in our lives. I mean, my brain thinks completely different than it would have, you know, had I been a C-section. Just kidding. But publishing books was like having a lot of babies, you know, you have that stress. And I didn't know that either, the EU stress. I'd never heard that. So thanks for that factoid. But it really did, it did make us look at, all right, so if he's going to ship to bookstores, and by the way, bookstores have returns, what can we do in other areas that he's not going to go to? So we also kind of stayed out of his way, right? And we went into different areas. So we found Reading's Fun. You know, that was through a connection, Janet Atwood. I think that's how, is that how we met them, Jack? Was Janet Atwood?
Yep, I think so.
And she knew we wanted to sell more books. They did one at a time, door to door. And we sold millions of books that way. That was, we didn't know how to do it. It wasn't our business, but somebody else was doing the business. Like Jack was saying earlier, we got in touch with them, created a relationship, hounded them, did testing after testing after testing, and got it done. You know, that was an example. Another example was we started saying yes, like Jack was saying earlier, you know, overwhelm. I love what you said, you know, too many things with no structure. We were saying yes to authors without having a real structure around what does it really take? Who do we really need in our lives to make sure that we get and do everything that we want to get done? And so in the beginning, people would say, hey, I want to do a book with you. And one of us would say, okay. And then as we started to go through, I'm like, wait a second, why are we finishing this book that we had a co-author that was supposed to do it? So what came out of that was, well, let's look at this obstacle called not a great author. And now we're under the gun to what's the structure and what do we need to do? We need to look for authors that have platforms. We need to look for people that know how to edit. We need to do all these different things. And that allowed us to go from one book to five books to 10 books to, at one point we were doing 18 books and marketing 18 books all at one time. So we had to really be very clear about what that looked like. And you know, we said no to people, and that was hard for us too, because there were some people that we really liked, but we had to say it wasn't against them. You know, it was really for everybody. It was for the entire organization, because everybody would suffer if we didn't have that. I think you can relate to that, Jack, or you might want to make a comment about that.
No, it's true. And someone just wrote in the chat, what the phrase, what you resist persists, which is one of the things we often teach, and the idea that you get stuck resisting it. You know, I often get up on stage and I'll put my hand out and I'll have someone push against it. And then we just stand there pushing really hard and we're wasting all this energy pushing against each other. And as soon as I just let go and stop resisting, they stop pushing. And so basically the reality is that resistance just gets you stuck. And I'd love what Byron Katie says, you know, whenever you resist reality, reality always wins, you know, so it's just a waste of time. Many of us spend much too much of our time thinking things shouldn't be the way they are. You know, we're right in the middle of an election cycle now in America. And everybody's thinking this person shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't be saying that. Those guys shouldn't be carrying guns to the polls. They shouldn't be, you know, kidnapping the governor. The governor shouldn't be, making us wear masks, you know, and all this energy where nobody's really accomplishing anything right now on any of that. You know, it's kind of sad. Anyway, we need to move on because we want to do an exercise with you related to what you've been doing in this course. And so what's going to happen in a moment, I'm going to ask you all a question, five or six questions, actually. I'm going to give you about 40 seconds to write the answer. You know, really quickly, you don't have to write complete sentences unless you want to. And then I'm going to take Patty through that and show you, demonstrate how you're going to talk about that in a group of four. So we're going to have you answer some questions. Then we're going to put you in a group of four and you're each going to have a turn to share your answer to those questions. To just clarify some awareness about where we are and where we're going and so forth. So the first question, and make sure you have something to write with because your memory's treacherous. I attended a seminar online the other day and a woman said a short pencil is much better than a long memory because we forget things. I love it. All right. So the first question is, I'll give you a minute for this one. What were your original goals? We started 4 months ago and you wrote down a goal or more that you wanted to accomplish this month. You know, this 4 months, this breakthrough goal, or maybe you had two or three. What were your original goals that you said, this is what I want to accomplish during this period of time? And the next question is, what obstacles or challenges showed up these 4 months that would get in the way of you achieving that? And there was what it could be internal, like thoughts, beliefs, fears, external, other pressures from other people, other to-dos, deadlines, parents, kids, spouses, your job, you know, whatever. What were the challenges or obstacles that you had to confront in order to achieve this goal? And the next question is, what did you do to push through, persevere, overcome, confront, deal with those challenges and obstacles? How did you deal with them? What did you do to push through, to handle it, to deal with it, to address it, to overcome it? What did you do? What strategies, what techniques, what behaviors? And the next question is, if I were to ask you, what would you like to acknowledge yourself for in terms of how you've behaved, acted, performed this month? What would you like to acknowledge yourself for? It might be your courage. It might be the fact that you hired a physical trainer. It might be the fact that you overcame a fear you had and acted anyway. It might be how you organized your time. It might be certain quality you brought forward. But what would you like to acknowledge yourself for? And just two more questions. The next one is, what did you achieve? If you look back over the 4 months, what have you actually accomplished? And, you know, maybe your goal was to lose 10 pounds and you only lost 7, but you accomplished losing 7 pounds. Maybe your goal was to, you know, write a 200-page book and you only wrote 150, whatever it is. But what did you accomplish in any of the areas that you focused on during this past 4 months of the program? Be very specific. The final question I'd like you to write about is, what did you learn this month? Now, you could have learned something about yourself, that I have more power than I thought I did. Or you can say, I learned how to put things on my calendar and block out time rather than work from a to-do list. Or I learned, you know, 5 strategies for getting better sleep at night. Whatever it might be, just whatever comes as fast as you can think of. What did you learn this month? You know, in relation to this program. Being in the program. Okay, so I'm just going to ask Patty, do you want me to ask you those questions or do you want to just read them? If you, since you have them, just share your answers with the group, whatever you prefer.
Sure. So my original goal, as most of you know, was my health. And I had definitely created the COVID-19, or in my case, COVID-17. And so my goal was to lose 17 pounds. My goal was to lose weight. I wasn't as clear about the pounds until I stepped on the scale and went, oh my gosh, how did I get to 147? Because that's like outside my comfort zone. So my goal is to get to 130. And so that was the goal, and go from a size 8 to a size 4. And I did.
And the challenge that you had to confront to deal with that?
There was tons. I mean, I think just having, like, for a lot of us, is having everybody at home and the kids ordering pizza, and I go in the freezer and there's drumsticks, and, you know, just there's chaos. So it creates stress for me, which makes me get kind of crazy. And then I don't sleep as well, and I get anxiety. So really all that stuff that Jim talked about, as far as environments go, that was a big challenge for me to be able to focus on me, because I'd get distracted and frustrated and resentful and all that fun stuff.
What did you do to persevere and push through all that?
I literally said to my husband, I am going to go to Tennessee for 30 days and I'm buying it. I already bought my ticket. And that was huge for me, because I would, you know, normally I feel really guilty and bad and think how selfish. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to do it. So I bought the ticket and I put on my mask. As you know, I look like a beekeeper. And I went there, and I also decided to do the NAD treatments, which were like $4,000. And for me, that's a lot. I just normally would think of 4 million other things that I should be doing with that kind of money, but I decided to do that. And I also went to Costco and I bought the big giant cases of celery juice, because I did all my celery juicing every morning. That was, you know, they wash it 3 times and it's all cut. So it's really, it made it easier for me. So that obstacle was out of the way. And that's what I did. And I drank a ton of water, like 2 gallons a day.
Okay. And what could you acknowledge yourself for?
Well, number one, really just being willing to invest in myself and for losing the weight and for having massive, massive discipline. And for me also, I gave up television that whole time, because I know sleep is so important. If you want to lose weight, you have to sleep. And for a lot of us women, we don't sleep like men. As most of the men know, they get to lay down and go, and we're up hormonally, you know, and TV doesn't help. And so I just had to cut that out, which, you know, is hard for me, because that's kind of my, like, turns my brain off. So that's
what did you achieve?
I achieved losing 17 pounds, being laser focused. I finished permission granted. I had tons of energy. I achieved everything that I had to get done over these last 4 months.
Good. And what did you learn?
I learned that it's okay to put yourself first. I learned that it's okay to invest in yourself. I really learned that, you know, for me, it's hard for me to invest. And I learned that if I invest in myself, which is hard sometimes, it always, always pays off every single time. And also I learned that having a group like this for me, having all of you watch it, you know, I have pictures, I won't share them all, they're kind of too graphic, but I took pictures of the scale, like in the beginning and the middle and the end, but having the, I need the accountability. I really do. And whether it's you or this group, but saying it out loud, I really learned that if I don't have that, I'll do what Charlotte said earlier, like la, 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 you know? So I learned the importance of this group. So I want to acknowledge this group for being part of this because you all helped me stay on track, which was awesome.
Cool. Okay, so what's going to happen in a moment is you're going to get put into groups of four randomly. And when you're there, unlike what happened there, I was asking Patty those questions. You're not going to have anyone ask you those questions. You wrote down your answers. Just answer the questions to the group. You'll each have about 3.5, 4 minutes to share what your answers to those questions are. And whoever lives closest to New York City, you're going to go first. And you all can figure that out in like 5 seconds. And then you'll know who to go first. And then just go across the screen. And just, you know, share whatever your answers are. We want you to be just kind of clear here what you learn. It's very important to acknowledge yourself for the successes you've had. We're also going to talk about maybe some of the things you didn't achieve. We'll talk about how to hold that in your consciousness. But for now, let's focus on what we did do, how we handled the obstacles that showed up, what we can acknowledge ourselves for, what we learned, what we achieved, etc. So are you ready to do that, Jocelyn?
Yep. All right. It looks like some of you will only have three people in the room, but
then you can talk longer.
Three.
Oh, and Jocelyn will tell you when to switch.
Yep.
You'll look at the top of your screen. You'll get a little announcement that says next person.
All right. Goodbye, everyone. Jeff and Michaela, you should get a request to join a room. I'm hoping. Let's see.
Okay.
Did you get a request to join a breakout room?
Yeah, and I was in one, but then my microphone didn't work, so I had to log out and log back in again.
Okay.
And Evelyn was in my group. I could hear her, but she couldn't hear me. So, and then now she's disappeared.
Well, let me just put you in a new group. If I can find you on here.
Is Evelyn in a group? Or have you seen her?
I have not.
Well, in any case, I have lasted through things over the last 3 months and had an incredible experience.
Good. Oh,
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear that.
I put an offer on a 6-acre farm on the Rio Grande and I'm closing on it on Monday.
Oh my gosh,
And
that's so cool.
yeah.
Wow. That's a huge account. My dog wants to talk too. Now I can't even find you on here. It's so weird. Well, go ahead and go through the questions with me. Oh, actually, I just found you, and there is one group that only has two, so I'm gonna put you with them so that they have one more.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Becky, did you get kicked out? Let me put you back in your room.
We're going to be out of time anyway here.
We have two more, so.
I'm still not, I don't see anybody else here.
Weird. Okay. Shows that you're in there. That one work?
Still just me and you and Julie's name.
You're not getting like a request to go to a breakout room?
Nope.
Okay. Anyways, share with me.
So the biggest lesson for me was the power of vision. I started taking pictures and drawing things, and I've got vision statements all over my refrigerator and acknowledging that I'm already there and how good it feels, and I would just read those all the time, and then perseverance, because I found the perfect little farm on the river, and I live in New Mexico where it's hot and dry, and I wanted to be on the river, and then somebody else, the day I put in an offer, somebody else put in a bigger offer, and they took that offer. A month later, the realtor called me up and said, well, that one fell through. It's still available. So just a week and a half ago, I put in an offer and we're closing on Monday. And
that's super awesome.
And I've bitten off way more than I can chew, invested far more money than I have, and it's going to cost more. So I'm going to have to engage other people in the whole thing. Yeah, it's been a sleigh ride.
Yeah, that's cool.
Good yep. for you. Yep. And you?
Oh man. Well, I started out, my priority was really my health. So, kind of like Patty, I think just for me, it was learning to prioritize my time for myself first thing in the day. And the environments piece was huge, learning how important, you know, I used to think it was so much about willpower. Mm. And, realizing, so I put in a home gym right next to my kitchen. So instead of eating, I look at that and go, I should be in there on my elliptical. And then I also started doing the NAD treatments, and that was massively helpful in just getting my energy back up and the pain out of my joints. And so,
NAD treatments.
It's like kind of a big thing in biohacking that it's really big in biohacking right now, but it has made me feel 10 years younger. And it just really gave me the kickstart that I needed.
Huh.
And I'm proud. So I've lost like 25 pounds and I'm proud of that, and I'm keeping on going. But yeah, it's been really good. I got to close all these rooms really quick. All right. Yeah, so it's been really good. And I don't have the questions all in front of me, but that's the basics of what I have been working on.
And what did you learn through that process? That's the big thing.
I think that you can't give from a depleted source. And so, you know, if I continued to not make time for myself, then I didn't have the energy to give to everybody else that I want to give. So,
yeah.
Welcome back, guys. Hello. Does everyone have good groups?
Yes.
Good. Awesome. I don't know if I think everyone, maybe not everyone's back yet.
All right, people coming back.
I don't think we had a choice. I think it was over.
Yeah.
It was.
So Evelyn was in our group, just didn't quite get to finish, but it's okay. That was good. I learned a lot. I like being in that group. People made a lot of progress. That was cool. So where are we here? I want to talk for a few minutes about something called the gap. So could you put that slide up for me, Jocelyn, if you're there? Jocelyn may have, there we go.
Sorry, my dog keeps barking, so I'm on mute.
It's okay, dogs do that. So basically, I want to talk to you about how to handle things that you may not have totally completed, where you felt like you wanted to achieve a certain goal and you didn't quite get there. So this is a really powerful tool that Patty and I learned from this same guy, Dan Sullivan, who taught us the strategy circles. And we've applied it to our own work and our life and with our clients. It's a very, very valuable concept. So the idea is actual one at the bottom of your screen is where you may have started when you came into this program. Let's say you were making $60,000 a year and your goal was to make $100,000 a year. So that's at the top of the screen. And what happens is, if you measure yourself to the actual two, which is $85,000, just click it one more time. Then what you get to do is you focus on your progress and you focus on that and you get to go, wow, I improved $25,000. Like if Patty had had a goal to lose 17 pounds and she only lost 15 pounds, she could focus on, wow, I lost 15 pounds and feel really good about that. Or instead focus, you know, hit the next click. She could focus on what we call the gap between actual two, which is where she got to, and the goal. And if you click it one more time, and then what happens is you end up feeling disappointed. You end up feeling frustrated. You end up feeling unmotivated. Like, I didn't accomplish it. This stuff doesn't work, etc. So the key here is that when you focus on the difference between actual one and actual two, you end up with greater happiness, more self-esteem, more motivation to continue, more momentum to continue going toward your goal. Because the goal is important. We set goals because they give us something to shoot for. They direct our activity. We were talking earlier about someone, you know, staring off into space, not knowing what to do. Well, if you have a goal and then you know what to do, then you basically have, you're active. You're not sitting around feeling like, you know, bored or whatever. Anyway, so the key here is for you, wherever you've gotten to in this program, is to focus on the difference between actual one and actual two and not the gap, because the gap will just basically demotivate you. And obviously we want you to keep working toward that goal. And you may not have reached it by today, but maybe you'll reach it in the next 2 weeks or the next month, or maybe even the next 3 months or 4 months. You know, Patty and I have set goals before to achieve a certain thing, write a book, develop a program. And sometimes it's taken us a year longer than we thought it was going to, but we eventually did it. And I usually write down 18 to 21 goals a year, you know, the seven areas we talked about, a couple, three in each one. And I usually get 12, 14, 15 of those goals within that time frame. And then the others usually happen within the next three to 6 months, or maybe some of them take another year, but they usually happen because I set the goal and I keep working on it. So don't let anything of not having accomplished it fully feel like you failed, because you didn't. You achieved something, and focus on that, celebrate that. And then you're going to be a lot better off if you do that. Patty, do you want to add anything to that?
I would add that, you know, I kind of celebrated as I went. So, you know, I had a scale. So it was really, it was very measurable. And there were days where I would, you know, I would be down 2 pounds. The next day I'd be up one. I could have gone like, oh, it doesn't work. I'm just going to go eat cake. And so celebrate your little successes along the way. Just like this course, there's like no destination, you know, as many books as we published and all the stuff that we did, the journey was so much more juicy than getting to that one place. And so I, you know, every time we ever finished anything, we always celebrated. We talked about how great it was, what we acknowledged about each other. We did the work. And so often we're like, okay, we got that one. Now what's next? We don't give ourselves permission to really even to say it out loud, right? Like, guess what I did? So celebrate the little things along the way. It'll keep you motivated to get to that thing that you want to get to.
Cool. All right, let's see where we are here. Let's go ahead.
I was going to say, you, no, never mind. You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I should have thought. I was going to tell you how to teach, but forget it. I'll let you do that yourself. I'm done telling you what to do.
Okay. Let's... We want to have a fairly brisk Q&A period, since it's the last session we're meeting here. So I think what I'm suggesting we do, Patty, is talk about the script story, and
yeah, I think one thing is, you know, as you all went through this and you worked with each other in that last group, like, you know, really write down like what did you learn about yourself? And what's the one thing that you're going to commit to keep doing? Because I think we all had awarenesses. I mean, for me, Jack, I'm really aware, like, and you know this, this is why Susan's my best friend. My environments are everything for me. If I don't have peace outside, I can't have it on the inside. Like, that was a big one for me. I mean, for you, you talked about you have to start putting your stuff in the morning to get that book done. So I think with that, then what you're, just the story you're about to tell is really going to kind of top it off.
Okay, cool. So what I want you all to do is imagine you're out to lunch and you're sitting at your table and you look across the room in a restaurant where you're all properly socially distanced. It's a little different than it used to be. And you notice a movie star, you know, like a Harrison Ford or a Mark Wahlberg or Oprah Winfrey or Nicole Kidman, you know, sitting at the table, you know, maybe two tables away, and they keep staring at you. And you look out of your eye and you notice they're staring at you again. And you're going, oh my God, you know, why are they staring at me? And eventually this person who you have a tremendous amount of respect for, you admire them, you're kind of amazed, you're even in the same restaurant with them. And they walk over to you and they say, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I've been noticing you and you have, you know, I've been reading the script. I'm going to be doing a new movie and we're looking to cast one person left in the movie. It's not cast yet. And I've been looking at your looks, your mannerism, your body type, everything. I think you'd be perfect for this role. I just think you'd be perfect for this role. And what I'd like to do, if you're willing, I'd like to give you the script. And I'd like you to learn the script. And, you know, if you accept this role, what we'll do is we will hire the best acting coaches for you. And if you need to learn to act better, we'll hire voice coaches for you. We'll hire researchers so you can research this character. And, you know, if it's a historical figure, you'll figure out exactly how to be with that person. You'll know a lot about them, what's their motivation, et cetera. And we will pay you $5 million, $5 million to be in this movie. And we'll give you $1 million deposit right now if you agree to take the role. So basically, you know, we want you to feel better about this. We want you to feel safe. We want you to feel comfortable agreeing to it. What would you do to learn that script? What would you do to learn that script? Here's a $5 million offer, possible Academy Award. You're going to become a movie star. They're going to provide you with all the support you possibly need. You're going to learn to stand a certain way, speak a certain way, laugh the way you need to laugh, cry the way you need to cry. How many of you just put into the chat a number one, if you would practice, or let me ask you this first. How many of you would read the script once, practice it once, and then show up on set? And the answer is probably not very many of you. What would, you know, type into the chat, what would you do if you made the agreement, they gave you the script, you got a $5 million, you know, payout, $4 million to come if you learn the script properly. What would you do? Just write the words in there to you. What would you do?
They're saying practice, whatever it took, everything. I was all in before the $5 million, everything I need to. I'll do anything for $5 million, whatever it takes, everything.
Yeah. See, and that's the idea. And what I want you to realize as we're drawing this program to its close, if you will, even though the real training is about to start, where it's applying all this in your life, is that is what's going to be required of you to achieve your ultimate, what I call extraordinary life. Every one of you, I love in our breakout group, Dr. Trish said, the first thing I did was after we looked at those, the wheel of life, I didn't know what a 10 was in each of those areas. Mm-hmm. I realized I didn't know what a 10 would be. So I took a whole day, she said, and I figured out what would a 10 be in each of those areas. What would I be experiencing? What would be happening? What would it be to a 10 in my total, you know, emotional and physical health? What would a 10 be in terms of relationships? What would a 10 be in terms of my profession and my income and so forth? And so you all have the capacity to live at a 10. What is a 10? And that's the script you've been given. What is a 10? So you may have to, you know, figure out a little more than you've done so far. What would that ideal extraordinary life look like if you were living each of those areas at a 10? And then the question really becomes, what am I willing to do? And the answer is what you just wrote down. Whatever it takes, practice, 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 until you got it so well that you wouldn't need to refer to the script. You would have become the part. My cousin is an actor. And he did a lot of different movies. One of the movies he was in was a movie called Patton, which some of you older people will remember. It's about General George Patton during World War II. And he played Patton's aide, who gets killed about two thirds of the way through the movie, in the movie. And one of the things he told me is that George C. Scott got so into the role of Patton that when they stopped filming, he was still Patton. In fact, I read an article later that his wife was freaked out because it took him about 6 months to stop being Patton, because he was treating her like she was one of his soldiers. You know, he just couldn't let go of this very demanding, very egotistical, flamboyant general that George C. Patton was. But he'd become the role. You know, the guy who played Lincoln, whose name I've forgotten right now, but Academy Award winner, someone will probably type it in the chat. But the reality was, he became that role. He would never step out of role on a break. Daniel Day-Lewis, thank you. And he's an amazing actor. He always embodied the role. And so you have to embody the role of being this person that would be living your life. And that means doing the exercises, three of which are really important. Number one, doing the affirmations and the visualization. Because when you're doing the affirmations, you're thinking the thoughts that you would think if you were already that kind of person. And then when you visualize having those successes, being the way you would be if you were a multimillionaire, a best-selling author, a successful entrepreneur, a coach with a full practice, a loving, unconditionally, you know, accepting, compassionate person, you know, having abundance in every area of your life, whatever. If you were acting, if you were being that, how would you be? You know, one of the things we're going to be talking about in a few minutes, actually, is something we're going to do in our November celebration call, which is called a Come As You'll Be party. And we're going to give you some preparation for how to show up for that. But part of that call is going to be us all being 5 years into the future, let's say 3 years into the future, whatever you feel more comfortable with. And you are living your dream. You are acting, you're going to act as if you've achieved everything you set out to achieve. And we'll talk in more detail about that in a second, like some ways to do that, how to make it fun. But if you are acting as if you're already there, your subconscious mind, it's like you're living the script. You're practicing the script of who you're going to become. How would you talk? How would you hold your body? What would your emotions be? What would your eye contact be? Would you be more enthusiastic in your voice tone? What would you be experiencing if you live that way? You know, Patty had this experience with me, where our publisher owned a private jet, and Patty calls them planes with no seat numbers. And you know, you go to the airport, you don't have to go through TSA, you walk right onto the plane, they put your luggage on, the door goes up, the plane taxis, and you land. You get off, and literally by the time you get down the stairs, your luggage is there, there's a limo waiting, and you go. We got to do that several times. Patty has a couple other friends who have private jets, and she's spent some time on them. I've had a couple of clients pick me up in their private jets. Like, the real estate company with two names down in Texas?
Keller Williams.
Keller Williams. They couldn't get me there by commercial, so they picked me up in their little private jet. And I've done our publisher a few times. It's nice. So once you've experienced that, you know what it feels like to be someone who owns a private jet. You know, if you've been to an expensive spa, you know what it feels like to be able to do that. You know, if you've eaten at a really fine restaurant, you know what it's like to do that. When I was first learning to think of myself more abundantly, I was making $38,000 a year. And one of our assignments was to go into Beverly Hills and try on $1,300 suits, you know, $1,000 suits, $2,000 suits, $300 shirts, not buy them because I didn't have the money to, but just go into the store and feel like I belong there, as opposed to like someone was going to ask me for my Black American Express card and exit me out of the store if I didn't have one. And so we all have the capacity to start acting as if, putting ourselves in the place of test driving a Mercedes-Benz or a, you know, whatever car you think is the car to own. Could be a, you know, an old antique car that you'd like to have, doesn't matter. But the idea that you could afford to do it. So this idea of rehearsing, being the being you want to be, we need to spend time every day. That's why that, you know, 20 minutes of meditation followed by visualization and affirmation is so critically important. Because after a while, you become that. Your body and your emotions cannot tell the difference between a vividly imagined experience and one that you actually experience. So we train ourselves to be the future self that we want to become by practicing until you become that person, I just share one last story with you about this. We have a friend named Cherie Carter Scott who teaches this work, and she applied her self-confidence is just off the chart, And, you know, she applied for a loan in a local bank in Santa Barbara where we live, and they turned her down. And she went into the office, said, I need to speak to the president of the bank. And she got the meeting. She goes in and says, you turned me down for a loan. I have no idea why you did that. This makes no sense to me. I need this loan. You can afford to give me this loan. I deserve this loan. I can pay it back. Here's my, you know, numbers to do that. And she was so confident and so clear, they gave her the loan. Because she wasn't like, oh, I didn't get the loan. You know, she already was the person that is the kind of person that gets that loan. Yesterday, I was talking with a friend of mine, Mary Morrissey, who was a friend of Bill Harris, who Patty and I know, who used to teach Holosync. And we were talking about the importance of that whatever shows up as an obstacle or a challenge, you say, what's the blessing in this? What's the blessing in this? What's the good in this? What's the gift? And he was running his company and someone else sued him for $1 million, sued him because they thought he had taken his technology. And the fact is that he hadn't. And he said to Mary, because they were friends, he said, I don't see what the blessing in this is. She said, I want you to spend 10 minutes a day meditating on what's the blessing in this. And he said, after 3 days, he come up with 61 blessings. And he said, the first one was, somebody thinks my company's worth $1 million. He said, because that's what they think the technology is worth that they're suing me for. And he went on. And after about 3 weeks of focusing on the blessings, he said, the guy dropped the suit. Mm-hmm. Something happened in the energy field where he was not going to be sued. And he went on to make many, 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 many millions of dollars with that technology, as Patty and I know, became one of the most generous philanthropists that we've ever known in our lives. You want to add anything to that, Patty, before we move into talking about the...
I think it's interesting. Somebody said, instead of come as you'll be, come as you are, like as you, you know, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But I just love this last piece because it's where it's where we get stuck in that place of not fully embodying it, you know, kind of when I do this, then I'll be there. And so to have to go through this every day and make this like a mantra in the morning and the evening. And then for me, what I'm taking away from this is, was I that person today that I need to be that person tomorrow? And if there's something that I was off course and or I didn't do, or I did do that I shouldn't have done, how can I improve it for tomorrow? And so literally holding it, because the thing is, the fact that these actors can literally become this, it is an act. It's living proof that this really works. And I think I just realized, like, we spend way too much time waiting to be that thing when we have everything we need right now to be exactly what we were put on this planet to be. And the only thing that gets in the way is this, right? Or something outside. But with awareness comes choice. And so what choices can we make each day, those little things that are going to really make us become what God or universe, whatever, wanted us to be. So I don't know why, but today I could listen to you all day. It's really weird. You know, it's interesting. So I just want to add that. And I think for me, just again, the importance of being reminded, like one of the things that I realized even in my health challenge was I didn't learn anything new. I just needed to be accountable and reminded and in action. And I think for so many of us, we know that we have to do scary things. We have to stretch. I mean, if somebody said, I'll give you $5 million, the first thing I'd be like, oh my God, that's like huge. You know, one of the things is like, that's a huge responsibility, but it's also a massive opportunity. And so everything that's an opportunity is going to come with responsibility. It's going to come with all these different stresses, but they're just there meant to grow us. So, thank you for reminding all of us of that. That's great. That's all I got for you now.
Okay.
I love it. I love this group.
Jocelyn, if you could go to slide 21 and put that up on the screen, we'll talk about the Come As You Be party real quick. And we can go to the next slide. So basically what's going to happen at this party is we're going to show up, and I'll remind you when we get there, and we'll have a, I'll say start now. So we'll do that. And you're going to probably for, I would say at least 30 minutes, maybe a little more. We're going to maybe even 40 minutes. We're going to basically put you into groups of four or five people for maybe 7-8 minutes. And you're going to talk about what you've accomplished over the last 3 years. Let's put it 3 years out into the future. 3 years that you've accomplished, things that you've set up as goals, either in this program or as a result of now thinking the way you think in this program. You can set some new goals you want to achieve if you want. And you're going to be in the in that as if it's what would be 2023, I guess. And you're going to act as if we're already there and you've accomplished all these goals. And you're going to talk in the past tense about, oh, but you can't believe what I just did. I just came back from Singapore. We had this huge international conference where I was the keynote speaker. Or you'll show a picture of your boat that you just bought, or slides, you know, or you know, pictures from your trip to Dubai, or your safari you took, or you could talk about being on Oprah, you know, whatever it is that is your successes, you're going to talk about them as if you've had them. And just like a cocktail party, at random times, we will just immediately shift you into a new group. Because that's what happens at a cocktail party. You go up to get another drink, and before you can get back to the group you were talking to, you get interrupted by someone else who pulls you into their group. And the next thing you know, you're in that conversation. And so you'll get to be interact with a lot of different people over the course of the time together. And sometimes there might be one or two people that you interacted with before as we do it randomly. And so if you could just click to the next, I'm going to show you some examples of what people have done in the past. So you could have a bestseller list. You could have a picture of like the Eiffel Tower because you visited Paris. You could do a Photoshop picture of you with a movie star or Oprah. You could have these fake $1 million bills that you can buy online, you know, from Amazon and other motivational speakers. You can make up book covers of books of that you know, several of you are writing books. You could have a trophy. You can buy a trophy from a, you know, online from a trophy store and from Amazon, I'm sure. Medals, pictures of you on vacation. Go to the next slide, please. So here's someone at one of our live parties where we did, where she was coming out with a set of guided meditation videos. It's her website, and there's her Tuned Into Calm. And go to the next slide, please. Here's someone with her, you know, her gonna just click that again. Yeah, there she is with the, like her Oscar, her Emmy, whatever that was supposed to represent. Next slide, please. And, you know, here's someone with all the things that they accomplished on their vision board. Next slide. Similar thing. Next slide. Here's someone with a Guinness Book World Record, which she actually did win a Guinness Book World Record as a result of that. She set that as a goal in one of our Breakthrough to Success trainings and then went on to win a Guinness Book World Record. Miriam Lance. Laundry. You could have a picture of your car, your dream car. Next one. It could be books that you've written. Next one. Here's more people. And you could just take a normal book and, you know, you can print out something on the computer and you can just put it over the book itself and hold it up and talk about it. Another one. There you go. And we see there someone made up a trophy, just printed it out, you know. And we see another there, Quantum Life book. Keep going. New York Times bestseller. They're doing a book signing, holding the book. Next. There's some guy with his Harvard University degree, which he didn't have yet, but he's acting as if he graduated from Harvard. This is a really cool kid from India. I love him. Very cool. There's the $1 million bills being thrown around. Next. This is a guy who used his cell phone to show a $20 million check for having sold his company. And so you could do something like that. You can put it on your cell phone.
Keep it 20 million only.
Again, you can have awards. The woman made a mock cover of herself on Forbes magazine, Times magazine, Man and Woman of the Year. You can go online and find those. You can actually download those, put any picture you want on them. Next. This person wanted to be retired in Hawaii or Bali, someplace like that. So she showed up like that. Next. This person got a cutout of Oprah. Not sure where she got that, but she did. And so she was pretending she was had just been on the Oprah show. Next. And these people wanted to travel. So they had their suitcase with all their travel stickers, Thailand, China, Bora Bora, et cetera. Next. And this one blew Patty and I away. This guy is a rock singer and he wanted to be a rock star. So he literally rented a tour bus for the party. I'm not suggesting any of you do that because it's expensive and it won't really show up in your living room in your Zoom, but you can get a picture of one, obviously, and put it up on the screen. And he literally took people out into the tour bus and we got the tour. It was a real tour bus that rock and roll kind of people use with the bedrooms in the back and all that, and talked about his tour that he was on. That was really fun. We had another person come up with a camper, talked about their camping all across the country. That was really fun too.
That person actually went to like the, was it Gulfstream or the Airstream, and convinced the Airstream company to bring the Airstream to our live event. I mean, like that's
right.
That's like really taking it to a whole new level. And this guy has gone on to do really well with them. I can't remember his name, but he, like we were talking about earlier, Jack, he fully embodied it. And yeah. So as we go through this, just remember like how we do anything is how we do everything. And yeah. So if it's time to step up that game, like really, really step it up, go for it. That's what it takes. And this was impressive. I mean, he had a red carpet, the whole nine yards, photographers, lights.
Yeah. We were introduced to this by a woman named Diane von Wellness when we're through a party on the Queen Mary. It was the first Come As You'll Be party we ever attended. And they even had paparazzi. They hired these college kids to, you know, as people were coming in and go, oh my God, it's Jack Canfield, you know, and they were taking pictures and flashbulbs were going off. And we got inside and the woman who wrote Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway had that book, which she hadn't even published yet, but she hadn't even written it yet, but she had a title. She was going around. Barbara DeAngelis, I think, had three or four books that she said she was going to write, and she wrote all those books. I was walking around with Mark with the first Chicken Soup for the Soul book, which was not written yet, and we were acting as if we had the book and it was published. And everyone at that party went on to achieve the things they talked about. I mean, it was quite extraordinary. We did that for 3 hours. Never left roll for the whole 3 hours. But the power of this is it really conditions your subconscious mind as if you've already achieved this. And it's, as we were talking earlier about practicing being the person you want to become. So that's the Come As You'll Be party. So you can bring any props you want that you can hold up. It can be pictures of things. It can be real things, whatever it might be, that you can show people. Or if you don't do that and you get there and you forgot or whatever, you can just hold up your hand like this where and say, this is my Emmy or this is my trophy or this is my picture of me at the Harvard graduating or whatever. So don't freak out about that part. It's fun. And I think the more energy you put into it like that, the more it actually works. Patty and I, when we did the Chicken Soup for the Soul book and later for the Success Principles, we printed out a copy of the New York Times bestseller list. Mm-hmm. This was before Xeroxing and Photoshop and all that. We whited out whatever was on the top there and then typed in Chicken Soup for the Soul. And we put about 50 of those around the office on the walls, in the bathroom, everywhere you go, you'd see Chicken Soup for the Soul number one. And after 14 months, we were number one. So it did happen. And we've done many, many, many things like that as well.
Well, so we put several titles on there, and I think we were the only people to ever have seven books on the New York Times list at one time.
Yeah, we have a Guinness Book World Record for that, actually. I have it in my office.
We did all stuff. We did all of it. I mean, believe it or not, we spent a lot of time doing this stuff. It's kind of fun to think back.
Yeah.
It was fun. And it's great to talk about. You know, it's like so, I don't know, it's interesting just to really go in the extra mile on every level was just so worth it on every level.
It works. So we're going to talk for just a moment about next year's course, if you would like to enroll for that. And then we're going to do a Q&A. So basically, if you've enjoyed this year and you would like to sign up again, we'll be doing fairly much the same thing. We're sending you guys a evaluation to fill out. We'll be looking at those. We'll be making tweaks to improve the program based on the feedback we get from you all. And we'll have four new experts that are different than the ones we had this year. We've already talked about a couple of them that we think are incredible that most people don't get access to. So we'll have that as well. And we'll be doing very much the same thing we did this year and probably adding in some new features as well. Now, if you want to renew, you just go to jackcanfield.com renew. You're going to end up on a landing page that looks like what you see on the right there where the little arrow is, called Success Principles Coaching Club. And you can get a $100 deduction if you enroll before November 13th. We want to, you know, I like what John Assaraf always said. He said, when would now be a good time to do that? But the idea is if you do it now, it's done. And just go to jackcanfield.com /renew and get a $100 deduction. If you pay in full, it's $8.97. If you do four payments, it's $2.50 a payment. So there's some interest payments in there. If you do PayPal, you can do PayPal later where it pays us in full, that then you get the $8.97 price, and PayPal, I think, is a little less interest payment. They don't have to hound you the way we often do to find out to get the next payments. So anyway, that's what you can do. We'd love to see you join us again if you got value from this one. What you can do, you can focus on another area of your life. You know, pick a different area than you did this time and work with that. You want to add anything, Patty, about next year?
Well, a lot of people were saying things about the office hours too. So I will have office hours between now and then for the people that are signing up. So you will have, I want you to keep the momentum going and really get clear by the end of the year. Okay, now that we're here, new year, new you, what do you want to work on next? Again, I really like this model. You know, when we started this, Jack, we've never done this before. And we thought, you know, let's really go all out. And for us to offer this program at $9.97, it's probably, I would say, the best program we have.
Yeah, it's worth a lot more than that.
Expensive, to be honest. I mean, we may have a VIP offer that we'll let you know about. We're kind of coming up with some fun things. So if you decide that you want to be in the VIP group for that as well, we'll let you know what that looks like. It's a surprise right now. So it's not fully baked, but we have some ideas. But I would just encourage you, like, if you're in, just be in. It's going to be a great group again. And I think it's really, you know, it's up to all of us to invest in ourselves. But I know that Jack and I have spent a lot of money with coaches and therapists and other people to get from where we were to where we wanted to be, because we could get in our own way. And lots of times it was a lot, but it definitely paid off. And we never ended up on the A&E special, Where Are They Now, which is good. We kept it together. So if you really want to become that best version, hang out there with us. And I promise you, we'll continue to deliver the love and the support that you need to believe in yourself and to believe it's possible.
Yeah, just to address a couple things in the chat real quick. This will be a 4-month program again. It'll start in January. And if you renew now, Patty will have some office hours between now and when we start in January for those of you who enroll now. So basically, go ahead, Jocelyn.
Can I add to that? We also are talking about doing a ugly sweater vision board party in December for all of you. That will just be the people that re-enroll from this group. So that also is out there, that we're going to do something fun in December to kind of just celebrate with all of you.
Okay, good. The ones who enroll. Mm-hmm. All right, good. So you know what to do there. And just jackcanfield.com/renew. You'll end up with that page, fill in the details, hit click, and you're in. We'd love to see you and work with you. And
first, people get an ugly sweater sent by Patty Aubrey.
You have a lot of ugly sweaters.
Doesn't everybody?
I once bought a Christmas sweater that my wife hates. I don't know if I still have it. I'll have to see.
I think you do.
You think I don't throw away.
Maybe you can autograph it and I can send it off and then everybody would like me.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Okay. Well, let's open this up to Q&A. We can take that slide off the screen perhaps and just have a speaker share. Very good. So if you have a question, type it into the chat. Patty and I'll do our best to answer. One of the questions, will the VIP info be available before 11/13? Yes, I think it will be, but not necessarily so. But if and when we decide to upgrade, whatever you paid, if there's an upgrade difference, we'll let you know and you'll be credited with that. Don't worry about that.
When is
BTS 2021? We don't have one scheduled right now because we're waiting to see what happens with COVID. So right now, this is kind of the replacement for that until we can start meeting again in person. And that could change. We might do something, but right now we don't have anything scheduled.
Everyone's quiet. Let's see.
We'd love to. I was just looking at slides to get the Come As You'll Be party slides of old trainings. And I was just going like, oh God, I remember dancing on stage and doing all these funny things we used to do. So we'll be back there. This will get over.
Wow, Greg says, my goal is to make 500,000 plus this year doing what I do. I have almost hit that 450 and about to blow past it. Want to set a new goal, 700 plus. I know, Greg, we've talked about this and you will make that.
Good for you, Greg.
That's awesome. Awesome. Any other questions about, does anybody have any questions about?
Messaged me about how long the portal will be open and the Facebook group. So the Facebook group is going to be archived, however the heck you say that, after 30 days. And then the back end of the member portal you'll have for 6 months. So you'll have access to the content, but not necessarily the group for a longer period of time.
Good.
And also please, please, please fill out your surveys, because if there's an expert that you know of or you think we might know and that you'd like to hear from and you're gonna be in the group, we would love to know who that is. We like to mix it up and you'll still have access to the experts, you know, from before. So if you wanted to know more about marketing or more about writing a book or different things like that, just make sure you put as much in there as you can so we can deliver as much value as possible. Leah says, I'd like to TT as well, a future goal. What a great idea. I think I get that everybody wants the Facebook group to stay in touch. Typically we keep those going. Jocelyn, I don't know.
She said it's gonna stop after what you said, 30 days?
Yeah, 30 days. That was, we've talked about it, and we mentioned that to everyone a couple months ago. I think Lisa and I talked about it and that was the decision. So the survey will be coming through to you in an email, and we will also be posting it we can post a link to it in the Facebook group as well.
Great, let's see.
Patty, do you know any answer to Jackie Freeman's question? I don't know how to answer it.
Where is it?
Scroll up to Jackie Freeman, 11:44 a.m.
Okay, hold on a second.
I'll post the link for the member list back in the Facebook group. I'll post those links there, but I can move them up to the top so that everyone has those as well again.
Oh, so Jackie said, I'm wanting to do TTT, and is the 6 month with Patty the same as Patty's permission granted or different? So permission granted is all women. That's a big difference. And it's a little bit more, I don't know, how would you say it, Joss? It gets more personal at some level because it's all women. And if you wanted, anybody that wants to do train the trainer, I would highly suggest that you go for it. It's so worth it. And I was talking with Alex Mendoza this morning, Jack, about train the trainer and the certification stuff. And being able to speak your message and tell your stories. And, you know, we've got people on here, Nora's in the group right now. And I think, Nora, you could speak to that too. It's a massive, massive growth step to really have to show up and read your scripts and really be seen at a whole new level. And it's very empowering. There's massive transformation that happens when you take massive action. So if there's a little tiny bit of you that is really wanting to do this work, I don't think there's a better teacher on the planet than Jack when it comes to teaching you how to be transparent, authentic, vulnerable, and have a methodology that's a step-by-step process, which we kind of figured out because I needed to learn it in a step-by-step process because I'm not as linear. And it really is as simple as baking a cake. And the hard part is showing up and being seen, which is also part of what Permission does. But Train the Trainer is just a killer program if at all interested. I'll be happy to answer any questions anytime about that. It absolutely changed my life. And I was really good at hiding for a long time. And now you can pretty much put me in front of anybody and not shut me up. So there you go.
Several people have asked, what is Train the Trainer? It's just where we train people to do this work. And basically, it's 2 week-long workshops normally with a lot of stuff going on in between and are usually about 6 months apart. And we're now adding how to teach this stuff online as well as in person. We were teaching people how to do it either one-on-one with coaching people or how to do it with small or large groups up to thousands of people. But now we're also adding sessions on how to do Zoom 101, how to do the kind of thing we're doing with you guys. And I've just learned yesterday, I learned some new games you can play online, which we'll put into the program next year from a guy named Matt Weinstein, who runs something called Playfair, which are really cool. You'll learn to do those and Train the Trainer as well, both live and also online, you know, digitally. So basically, it's a great program, and you can get more information. Just go to our website and where it says events, type in train the, you know, scroll down to Train the Trainer. There's a landing page there with lots of information.
When is this my best choice?
One other thing that we haven't talked about yet, but will be an opportunity for everyone, is to be an affiliate for this program and earn the cost of your admission back by enrolling 3 friends. Yeah. So that's another opportunity that we'll be sharing with you in the Facebook group. And we'll also be teaching you how to do that and actually make money at it, and use it as a tool for building your own coaching practices by offering bonuses, where maybe you're helping walk your friends through the program as part of the bonus when they sign up with you.
Yeah, someone said, are we still planning to do a live train, a breakthrough to success? We are. We're still waiting to see when the COVID-19 thing kind of dies down. So if it dies down over the winter and we can do something in the late spring, we will probably schedule that. If it doesn't die down and we have a huge thing going into the spring, we'll probably schedule something for late summer to fall. We have to see a dip so that people feel safe to travel, that we can do something in a room. It doesn't work where people are sitting 6 feet apart trying to do partnered exercises, et cetera. It just, you know, small groups doesn't work. So basically we want to fulfill the commitment to people who did sign up for that. And we also want to make sure that we keep doing these because they're one of my favorite things to do. So we will be doing that as soon as we get back to what I call the new better, what most people refer to as the new normal.
So Carmen's asking, what's the difference between Reignite and Breakthrough Success?
The difference I would say is that there's a little more hours. The thing we found out that's great about Reignite is that there's time in between the sessions to actually apply what you've been learning and to be able to see what shows up, work on that, to do all of the challenges that we've done every day in between. That's something that doesn't happen when you do a weekend workshop. And so what happens is that there's advantages to both. And so I like what we've experienced here. We've had the experts come in, which we don't do in Breakthrough to Success as well. What you do to Breakthrough Success, we have the power of a group energy when we're meditating together, when we're dancing together, when we're singing together, when we're hugging. I would say there tends to be a little more of one-on-one small group exercises, because there's a certain sequence we move through very quickly each day. And so there's that group, just the power of being together. You know, it's the difference between going to church or temple, live or doing it online. It's just a different feeling. You know, the group has a certain energy that's built when people are together. It's like watching a football game or being at the stadium. They're just different experiences. So I like them both, and we're looking forward to doing it again. So don't despair. We have not forsaken live programs in the future. We will be doing them again. Someone asked about TTT online versus TTT live. When you sign up for Train a Trainer Live, Train a Trainer Online is part of that. You get that. And if you sign up for Train a Trainer Online, which is a great program, what happens is you're getting a videos of a live training that Patty spent the better part of a year or two editing. That it's brilliant. And what happens is, if you sign up for that and later you decide you want to do Train a Trainer Live, we apply the price that you paid for the online to the live. So you're not paying the full price because that's included in the live training. We learned live used to be 3 weeks, three in-person weeks. And we learned that we don't need 3 weeks because 1 week was just taking people through what the online course does. So you can learn all that material and do the exercises, some of which you've done here, online, and then we have more time to actually practice and get feedback in the Train a Trainer Live, which is we're doing a lot of that now in this Train a Trainer Live doing it.
The other piece too is Train the Trainer Online, there is 6 months of coaching with me as well through that, because we've found that over the years that you need to have that reassurance, like, yes, you're good enough, yes, you're not crazy, yes, you did something scary, all those things. So I'm there to really support you, because I really love teaching trainers more than anything on the planet. And somebody said also, Jack, could we get Lisa Nichols as a guest expert for next year? Absolutely. Lisa, that's the cool thing with some of the people that we work with. Like, we're always supporting each other's groups, and she is amazing. I mean, if you missed that call, make sure you watch that call. Just unbelievably awesome. And many others too. So, somebody mentioned, could we get Mary Morrissey? Most likely. So it's just make a list of who you want and see what we can do about that.
Yeah. Jim Hagerty had a question. Jim, just send that question to info@JackCanfield and ask him to forward it to me, and I will answer your question privately.
Andrea says, is there a discount if you sign with your spouse for the Reignite course that starts in January? Yes, because you can be an affiliate. And what's the affiliate fee, Jocelyn?
40%. So
like $395 you get back, which every husband wants to hear. And I always say families that train together, stay together. So absolutely. And also if you're not really familiar with affiliates, Jocelyn's gonna run a call on how to be that, because it is an opportunity. So many of us, we refer people to other things and they go off and work with someone and it's like, oh, thanks, that changed my life. But we want to not just say thank you. We want to make sure that you can actually earn back what you've already invested with us by being, because you've had the experience. So you are sort of our grassroots marketing, if you will. And also it's always nice to know that maybe you had part in changing someone else's life. Well, if you don't know what that looks like, she will show you. And we were going to make it very, very simple, because I need it to be simple for myself as well.
Yes. And so a couple of people have asked a few questions about that. You do get 40% for every single person that enrolls, which is the highest affiliate commission that we've ever offered for any product, I think. And the goal is that we actually want to help you guys make money with this program and make back what you've spent on it. And for those of you who are trainers and speakers and coaches, there's some really cool, effective ways that you can utilize a program like this. So you don't have to build or recreate the wheel, and you can coach your clients through it and actually grow your business at the same time. And there's some people that do that really, really well right now in this industry. And so it's a big opportunity that we want to try to implement with this group.
Yeah, that's
Someone asked, what is the deadline for all our units, assignments, et cetera, to be done in order to receive certificate? I'm not sure what that's referring to. Is that?
I'll get back on that one.
Leah Sanderson. So get back with her on that.
I think there's a few people that have asked that. So, but I'll make a post in the Facebook group about that. I just need to talk to Lisa.
Someone says, is there a cost to be an affiliate? The answer is no.
Oh, no, you make money. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, like, as we go through this work, and we always look at all this too, like, okay, so we're going to make this much money in royalties, this much money from speaking events, this much money from trainings, and then this much money for referrals or affiliates or joint ventures. Lots of times that referral and joint venture side is as big, if not bigger, than some of the other areas. So if you are a speaker or a coach, or you're just somebody that has a really big mouth and likes to promote other people, make sure you understand that part of the game, because it can be very lucrative. There's a lot of people that are just strictly affiliates and don't deliver any content. So I call that mailbox money.
Jocelyn, can you respond to Julie's question?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll send it out. We'll be sending out a whole affiliate detailed letter of explanation with the call schedule for that. And then it'll also be posted in the Facebook group. So the discount is $100 rather than the 40% affiliate fee.
Yeah, you can't sign yourself up as under the affiliate fee.
Oh, come on. Canfield, you're no fun.
I know. You never have been. All right. Anyone else have any questions about anything else as well?
Or anybody about, persistence or
anything at all?
Someone's typing quickly.
That's me. Sorry. I forgot him. Not muted.
Alrighty. Well, it's great to see you. I look forward to seeing all of you at the Come As You'll Be party again. Go for it. Like, go big or go home kind of thing. Don't be intimidated. Don't worry about what everybody else is going to do. It doesn't matter. Again, focusing on what you want is where you want your energy to go. And let's make it really fun. And Mark said, can we have cocktails? You can have whatever you want. It's your party as much as it is ours. And if your house has an open bar, then you're good to go, right?
I have a question I'm going to ask you guys in real time.
Okay.
Hopefully I don't get in trouble. Can we do a contest for testimonial videos and draw one winner to get a free admission into the next round of the club?
Sure.
Okay, cool. So
explain what that is and tell them how to do it, or tell them how you're going to send them to tell them how to do it.
Yes. So because so many of you guys have reached out and given such good feedback, we would love to get some of it because it's our first time running this program. And the easiest way probably for a lot of you, since we've done things in the Facebook group and you guys are familiar with uploading video there, is if you want to do a video testimonial.
That's the dog. Dog's very happy about the program.
Dog's like, I want to win.
If you want to do a video testimonial and post it, I'll make a post there and just post it in the comments. And then we will draw a winner from that, from everyone that does it, and they will get a free admission into the next round of the club.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, and a couple of people have asked, don't we still have one more guest expert? Yes, we do. It's next Wednesday, and it's Jerick Robbins, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And then we also have our last club call, which is the Come As You'll Be party. And yes, you can send it privately. If you make a video, you can send it privately to club@jackcanfield.com, and that works as well.
So. And then Denise said, my book is done, Jack. You told me to share with you at BTS last year after you sang my song, Nevermind the Monkey Mind, on stage. How do I do this? How do you share? Denise, so you want to share the book, send a copy? I'm not clear about that. We will do a post regarding the contest, absolutely. So get very creative. Let's see. I don't know, Denise, I don't know what your request is. Are you on here? All right. Well, I would suggest that you send a copy to
the. If you want to send a book, just send it to P.O. Box 30880, Santa Barbara, California, 93130. I'll repeat that again. P.O. Box 30880, Santa Barbara, California, 93130. That'll get the book to me. Anyone else wants to send Christmas gifts, large sums of money, you know, feel free. That's my P.O. Box. Just kidding.
Oh, I like that question. Jack and Mary, what has been your favorite part of this course?
You go first.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, someone just said, how many things have you done off your 101 goals list? It's now 134 list. I added to it a couple of years ago. I think it's like 87 things are complete, something like that. Did a couple more this year. What I liked most about this course was the consistency of it. I liked the Q&A part a lot because then you get to be like in the moment and dealing with whatever shows up. I've really liked being put in the support groups. You know, when we break out into groups, I always end up with people I wouldn't have met otherwise. And they're all really cool people. So, and I'd like getting to meet them. And so that's been really fun for me too. Hearing some of the successes has been really fun. I think for me, just being in the course as I've been teaching it and getting, you know, more of my book done. I talked about that in the breakout group today, how, you know, that book's actually getting done because I'm putting it on my schedule now. And so that's been a great breakthrough for me. And also I've lost a little weight. I'm eating healthier. I'm sleeping more. I'm going to bed earlier, waking up earlier. So I think just being in the program has been like an accountability partner for me, because it's not like I should be showing up if I'm not doing it, you know, and like I can't really be in the integrity of it. So that's been fun. And then working with you guys, Patty and Joss and I get together every week and we, you know, tweak the plan for what we're going to do and come up with the slides and the cartoons, and it's always a fun planning session. So I like that as well.
I would agree with that. I think just having such a great team, you know, the three of us working together has been so seamless, but also being able to have more time with all of you. If I was in a big room and there's a line, I would be present. You know, I was able to really help all of you get clear with different things, and having the office hours and being able to get to know more of you. And I loved the challenges. They were kind of corny sometimes. And I was like, Jocelyn, are you kidding me? You're going to make me dance. I do not want to do that. So making us step outside of our, I did put that off until way late in the afternoon, by the way. But yeah, this has brought back sort of a community feel that we haven't really had. You know, typically we'll go do an event and then it's over. And so this has allowed us to get to know more of you over 4 months and be in the same group. It's the first time Jack and I've ever done this type of training together this way. And so it's fun. I always get to learn new things from him as well. I mean, every day he says something like, are you kidding? Where did that come from? You think you would have heard it all after 31 years, but I still learn new things, which is awesome. And I think also just a whole different level of appreciation of understanding how much time it takes to do these things, which is why if you are a trainer, you know, definitely use this content with your students. Don't reinvent the wheel. We spend a lot of time, energy, and money with a big team to create this stuff for you. So I guess that would be how I would answer that. Another question here is from Winnie. She says, Jack and Patty, how do you maintain your energy levels for all you have to do? Well, my answer is different than yours.
Well, I don't know. I'm just, I always had high energy. My wife calls me the Energizer Bunny. You know, that's why I usually would stay up late at night and get up early. And, but I think, you know, the meditation, I eat healthy. I don't drink that often. I do drink wine occasionally, but I've not drunk much at all during COVID. I think that's a big deal. I exercise. So that brings your energy up. And, I believed I took on the belief and the experience that the energy is not mine. It comes through me. So I don't feel like it's Jack Canfield's energy. It's divine energy flowing through me as me. And so in my meditation, I open up to that energy coming down and through. And so assuming that actually is what's so, which I experientially think is so from what I experience, then I don't get tired out. I don't get tired out. It's not to say that at 4 o'clock, I might not yawn for 20 minutes, you know, because in the middle of the day, I go through a little period like that. But generally that goes away. And I always said I was going to name my autobiography Last to Leave, because whenever I go to a party or a conference, you know, Patty will tell you, like you go to a TLC meeting, I'm the last to leave the party because I'm having so much fun. I don't want to go, you know? And so whatever.
Even when he doesn't want to go, then he starts having fun. I'm like, you weren't even supposed to have fun. And now you want to stay longer. I think too, a big thing for the energy is that the work is amazing. And so a lot of people are looking at, you know, what do you want to do and who do you want to become? And so if you're feeling exhausted about it, then it's time to rethink, is that who I really want to become? Or is it the right time? You know, and one of the, somebody said in here too, like, what's Jocelyn's favorite part of this meeting? And we shared a story yesterday, and I'd love for you to share that to the group today, Joss, because not that many people were on.
And I don't remember what it was.
Well, you talked about, you know, you wrote a book, you're talking to Greg, I think it was, and then deciding that you wanted to do what you did. So, and now look what you're doing. So share that a little bit.
I was just, well, it was kind of answering a question for somebody, but I think sometimes we get so caught up in what we think our destination is. And for me, I wrote a book like 3 years ago and was doing a lot of stuff with that. And that was kind of what I thought my path was going to be. It was doing this, you know, speaking and writing. And then I did some speaking engagements and I went, I absolutely hate that. I never want to do it again. And called Patty because I was in her program and said, I have a big problem. I do not want to do this. And she said, well, if you like all the other stuff, come work for me and do it for me, because I'll go on stage and you don't have to. And so, you know, my path was completely different. Like, it looks completely different and better today than I ever would have dreamed. And I get to work with two of the brightest people in the world who are some of the best mentors and be on these calls with them. And so don't get hung up on what you think your path is going to look like. I think that that's the beautiful part of surrender, is it can look so much better than what we think it will be. And now, you know, Patty's asking me to help lead Permission Granted, and I'm actually doing speaking, and two years later, it doesn't feel nearly as scary as it did. And then I'm, you know, in here with all of you, and it doesn't feel nearly as scary as it did 2 years ago. So it's still not comfortable for me, but it's getting better.
And this is a girl that was like, I absolutely do not want to be on camera. And I'm like, but I'm writing a book called Permission Granted on how to show up, speak up, and stand up. Like, you, we're all uncomfortable. So whatever it is, I mean, she was adamant. And look at, she's amazing. You guys have all experienced her. She's created all these amazing challenges. She's totally creative. And so that's, again, the importance of having a team and a community and knowing your strengths and your weaknesses and getting together. And that's what this is all about. So I'm really proud of you, Joss. And I have to say that it would not have been as fun for Jack and I if it wasn't for you. In fact, I'm sure it would have been very unfun on a few occasions. So.
Well, more than unfun. No, I just wanted to
more than unfun. Yeah. Thanks.
I just take a moment to acknowledge you, Jocelyn. You have been the backbone, the spine of this program. In other words, all the glue that holds it together. I send you the slides. You put them all together and make them prettier and put them in order. And we go through the outline and then you put it all together again, and all the behind the scenes work and the Facebook group and all of that, the community part of it. So thank you. Just want to acknowledge you.
Thank you guys. It's been very, very fun. And my favorite part of this whole thing has been getting to be in the Facebook group with all of you and really getting to be on a journey with you. I've also, you know, I think I've lost like 25 pounds and I'm still going strong with a lot of my habits. And so that wouldn't have happened probably if it wasn't for this group and, you know, wanting to be in there supporting and encouraging you and going, crap, I can't really do that if I'm not doing the work myself. So it was a lot of fun and I've gotten to meet amazing people. So
very good.
Yeah. And my other favorite part is watching Jack dance on TikTok.
I also put that off until the very last part of the day. And the worst part is while I was doing it, had my little phone, you know, this guy here, I had that sitting on my computer, like right here. So it had a stand and I'm doing the dance and my wife walks in. It's like, oh shit, you know. Like, what are you doing? And anyway, but I was glad I did it. It was definitely, I'm a good dancer and I love to dance, but dancing to a camera is really weird. And it also, it's like that's everyone's going to be looking at me as opposed to dancing. Everyone's kind of looking at everyone anyway, but I did it. It was a stretch and it was fun. I'm glad I did it.
But it's one of those uncomfortable things that once you do it, you get to laugh at it for the rest of your life. So it's, yeah. You know, it's like, those are the fun things.
Every time you break through a little barrier, that barrier is not as thick. And then it shows up in other areas of your life where you can break through as well. So, you know, the old how you do anything is how you do everything. So if you make it a breakthrough in this area of your life, it starts to show up over here with a little more confidence and willingness to be silly. I grew up 8 years of military school. Silly was not a high value. It's like, you know, it was like standard attention and be serious. So it's taken me a long time to break through all that.
Okay, so we're getting all this like spontaneous dance party right now. So Jocelyn, you got the music to end the day? Chuck's like, really?
Let me pull it up. We're going to end on a high note.
Okay, well, we'll dance. Okay. And then at some point, Jocelyn, you'll hit leave and we'll all be done. Thank you all for joining us. I love you.
We'll see you next week with Jared.
Taking the risk. Yeah, Jared, next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific time.
And take advantage of his genius mind. If you have questions, send him in. He's really cool.
Yes.
All right. What are you, any song requests?
Yes. How about The Love Shack?
Yeah, that's what we started with. All right, here we go. At any point, you're too embarrassed.